One of the great joys of creating this podcast is that I get to talk to lots of people who I genuinely like and find interesting, and this week is no exception. For this particular podcast, it's Martin Baines, who is the Graphy Studio Sales and Marketing Director for the UK and for Ireland. I should let you know at this stage, Martin and I have been mates for a very long time, and so I thought it would be fun to put that friendship to the test and stick him in front of a microphone. Hello, I'm Paul Wilkinson, and welcome back to the podcast that, well, it talks all things portrait photography. It's Wednesday as I'm recording this one. Okay, a little bit later than I would have liked, but the week has been a little bit like that. In fact, I actually spent Monday up in North Wales, up in Rhyl, recording interviews with Juliet and Terry from the SWPP for upcoming podcasts. You should tune into those when they're eventually released, as they're well worth the listen, as we talk about everything from the love of Brussels sprouts to the positivity of entering and judging competitions. They'll be coming out in the next few weeks, so do keep an eye out for those two podcasts. Right, so on to, very quickly, that was the week that was bit. It's been busy, but I'm always going to say that. I have to say at this stage, people ask me how I'm doing. We've just had the most lovely client has been in just now, and she said, "How are you doing?" And I said, "Busy." And then it got me to thinking, and I saw this on a Twitter feed this week, and it said, "Busy is not a badge of honor." And I do subscribe to that, but I'm not quite certain how I answer the question. Oh, I've been quiet, not much going on at all. We do always seem to be busy here. I guess being a busy fool is not ideal. But if you've got the kind of stuff we've got going on, I don't know what other answer to give. And so for now, it's always going to be busy. We've had 9 portrait shoots, all of them lovely, of course, mostly families, 1 fashion shoot in the midst of that lot and 1 corporate. 6 reveals, which is great. It's lovely to have clients back in seeing their pictures. Of course, there's a little bit of compression at this time of year, as lots of people are coming back with the hope and desire of having some images as gifts in time for Christmas. We've had 5 different development meetings of one sort or another. I've recorded, as I mentioned earlier, 2 podcast reviews, and I have done 1 heck of a lot of post-production for various jobs. Post-production's all right. I really enjoy it, actually. I find it quite cathartic sitting retouching. The problem is, when you do this for as a business, is that you have to do it a little bit quicker than I would like. I really like taking the time over an image and getting it just how I want it. But of course, the reality is I have to find those compromises to be able to get everything through. And that's the truism of this business. You come into it, particularly when you start out and you haven't got that many shoots, and you can spend the time you like. In fact, you should be spending most of your time marketing at that stage, but you can spend the time you like finessing and honing your images. But when you start to get a much higher throughput through, particularly for someone like us here, where I do all of our post-production, there's very little of it goes out of the studio. You don't get quite the same luxury of time and to be able to do it at your own leisurely pace, because people are needing those images. However, that's what I've been doing, and I do still love it. And on top of that, I've even managed to get to the gym a few times, which not only makes me feel better, but of course it means I'm now completely ripped. Well, I'm not. I've got so much work to do. Highlight for the week has been that Hasselblad have very kindly loaned me a couple of cameras. They've loaned me the brand new X1D, 50 megapixel mirrorless medium format, and also the H6D100. Which is an absolute mother of a camera, and a couple of bags of lenses to go with them. One thing I've always done at the studio, whenever I'm lent kit, is I would just crack on and use it. And that's exactly what we've been doing, with a view to being able to describe to portrait photographers how I found it, whether it's valuable, and it's something you should be considering. I won't give away any of my conclusions at this stage. We've got another week or so to go. But what I will let you know is that, oh my goodness, the image quality is utterly addictive. It's unreal. It is so addictive. Once you've seen the image quality that comes off these 2 sensors, it's very, very tricky to go back to anything else. But of course, a camera is so much more than just the quality of its sensor. It's also its handling, whether it's economic. There's a million things. So I will probably do a podcast on that, or maybe do a write-up on either my own website or on Mastering Portrait Photography, with a view to describing exactly that, how it fitted into our normal everyday workflow, photographing families and photographing dogs as well. Anyway, on to the interview. So Martin and myself and Sarah have known each other for about, or myself and Sarah have known Martin for about 15 years, I think. In fact, there's a bit of the podcast where we try and singularly fail to work out exactly how long we've known each other. It seems like I've known him forever. It's certainly long enough not to know how long, it seems to me. He is the marketing director for Graphy Studio UK and Ireland, though our history actually goes back quite a bit further than that. And his job takes him all over the region, as well as to Italy and the US. Now, here at the studio, we've used Graphy Studio albums for around about a decade or so. And they're incredible products. I mean, they're beautiful. You have to see, touch, lift, smell these products. They're just glorious. And they sit right at the heart of our business here, because our clients simply adore them. In fact, our client who's just been in was in to pick up her wedding album, and you can see the excitement as she picks it up. It's just lovely. And I've just to give you some background on Graphy Studio, if you don't know who they are. Now, I'm taking this straight from their website because it was easier and more accurate than trying to make up my own. So I'm reading this from their own blurb. So it says on their website, it's not easy to condense the Graphy Studio world into one single definition. It is a world made of sensations, traditions, culture, and of course, Italian style. The founder, Tullio Tramontina, is the main creative and marketing source, and together with his business partners, Maurizio Corazza, who's the production supervisor, and Enzo Piazza, who's in charge of technologies and design, has been able to turn this brand into a proper icon. And they actually use that word on the website, proper icon. I get the feeling they have an English copywriter in there somewhere. Anyway, thanks to continuous innovations, this company has been able to step forward as a prime mover in the wedding photography market. Graphy Studio has been the first company in the world to introduce digital printing technologies in the wedding photography market. What makes Graphy Studio stand out from its competitors and make it a world leader is the attention to the detail and the unique approach that combines search for innovation, style, and that impeccable Made in Italy quality. One of Graphy Studio's key strengths is indeed the quality and commitment of its staff. More than 200 employees, an average of 28 years old, and 63% are female. This is what it says on its website. All those people who contributed to the launch of the company's original idea are still here. The staff is therefore not only a major strong point in terms of competitiveness, but also an actual and essential company asset. So that's the blurb from the website. What it doesn't really talk about is the service side. And one of the reasons we love them is we have a tremendous relationship with the guys at Graphy Studio UK, who give us second to none service. And those of you who've seen me talk before about business, you'll know that I always, always prioritize service. It's no good having a good product that if it goes wrong, you can't have any service. You've got to have a trust, a long relationship. Don't keep chasing deals because, of course, one day you'll need that service. Given Martin's long career in the industry, I thought it would be interesting to interview him with a view to seeing if there are any words of wisdom he might share with photographers. He's been around the block a bit. If you know him, you know I'm telling you the truth. And of course, I start by asking him about his current role.
So my 11th year now with Graphy Studio, and my role is sales and marketing director for the UK and Ireland. So my role is to support our customers, whatever that might be, whether it's business support or helping them with the business or products, which is obviously one of the main things that we're trying to do. So yeah, it's very interesting, very varied, a lot of traveling, but highly enjoyable in an industry that I've been in forever and just love.
I was going to ask you, how did you get into the industry in the first place?
Well, this will take more than an hour. But
okay.
So I left school, wasn't very good at anything, and finished up doing photography, which was a passion as well.
And when will you get good at that?
Never, apparently, is the case. That's why I'm a salesman now. But studied photography at college. It was all 5.4 medium format stuff and all on film. Loved every second of it, and that's why still have a real interest in people who shoot medium format and buildings. And Sean Conboy, you'll shout out to him because he's an amazing...
he's brilliant, isn't
he's
he?
Just
and
fantastic.
A lovely guy.
He's the nicest guy. And he's from Preston as well. So.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he is. So so after leaving college, I was working for an electronics company as an assistant photographing electronic components that went to aircraft. And it was in near the Lake District. It was very hot, tungsten lighting, tiny little things that I didn't know what they were. And the guy who was the chief photographer just said, well, why don't you go and try those cruise ships? And I'm like, what? They have photographers on cruise ships? Really? So literally 6 weeks later, I'd packed my Hawaiian shirt and my shorts. And
we need to stop there and just imagine you in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts.
But I was actually going to a place called Bergen, Spitsbergen.
Oh, yeah.
Up into the Arctic Circle.
I've been there. That's not Hawaiian.
Exactly. So I had no idea. I looked at the itinerary and I had no idea where we were going. So then spent the next 6 years on cruise ships, travelled all around the world. By being 20, age of 21, I'd been around the world three times. So it was an incredible experience. And met my now wife, who was a dancer on the ships, left ships, came back to London to live in London, where my wife's from, and tried to get a job as a photographer, but too old to be an assistant and not qualified enough to be an actual photographer. So I kind of got into a sales role, and then one thing after another, there was a job came up, a company called Spicer Holfield, which was an album manufacturer, which you know very well.
I know very well.
Which we're based in the town that we're sat in at the moment, in Haddenham. And I remember going for the interview, and I was currently at that point selling cable TV and telephone door to door, which was good money, but it was a tough job. And I remember going for a job with Spicer Holfield, which was going to see photographers, and I was still very interested in photography as well. And it was just like, this is going to be the best job in the world. And that was it. I was hooked, and I have been ever since.
Okay. So that's kind of, I was trying to think how long ago it was I met you, because I was working... My client was Vodafone and I was an IT consultant. That's how far back we're going.
I remember.
So that must be, what, 17 years, 16 years?
If not more. I remember you were just talking about going full time. And I think that we knew each other, but one of the first real conversations was on the Gerigianis course.
Was
that in the Hoxton in London, I think?
Yeah, it was. Time? Yeah.
Yeah, I've still got some pictures somewhere of you looking very confused at a flash.
Actually, it was way before that because... Yes, I remember this, you bugger. I ended up being asked by you to take some photographs behind the scenes of a Jerry Gihonis conference in a hotel somewhere near Luton.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And you were with Glorious Books, Spicer Holfield at that time. It was just before you left, so I've known you longer than that.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know, it's a long time.
And
anyway,
I've never forgiven you for that. Jerry Gihonis, honestly, midway through whatever it was he was doing, he looked up and looked at me and he said, no pressure, hey?
No, there's, 130, 140 photographers in the room? Yeah, that was a tough gig.
That was a tough gig.
You did the London Zoo one for us as well.
Yvant. That was an even tougher gig because the lighting in there was awful. You couldn't have picked a worse venue for lighting. Thanks.
London Zoo Theatre, the Hoxton. Yeah. I can't remember, it was amazing.
It was dark. And this is before, I mean, the D5 would probably cope with it, but back then, whatever I was shooting on, it was just awful. It wasn't a Pentax. I used to use Pentax. I liked my Pentax. They were very slow to go digital, though. So when Pentax was nicked, I went Nikon. But so no, I've known you a very long time.
Yes.
So tell me about your time at Spicer Holfield. What did you learn about this great industry of ours way back then?
There's a lot of amazing things and some real kind of key points that have happened. So I've been kind of involved with album manufacturers now for 22 years. So 11 years now with Graphic Studio and 12 years with Spicer Holfield. And it's the thing is that the world's changed. I mean, I don't think there had been any real changes in photography. You know, we got new cameras, but we were all still shooting on film. Everybody, you know, printing photographic paper, silver halide paper. Nothing had changed. And then I remember going to a workshop with a guy called Barry Thomas, who was the first kind of Photoshop guru in the UK. And I remember sitting there and thinking, this is before digital cameras really came out. But Photoshop, I think we're on version one or even version two at that time. And I remember thinking, this is going to change our industry. This is going to be a revolution like never before. Then the first kind of digital cameras came out. And the first affordable one was really the Fuji S1 when that came out, 3-megapixel camera. And that was when things really started to change. And I remember being sat in a meeting with the directors of Spicer Holfield and saying to them, the world's going to change. There's going to be a revolution. And we didn't know how it was going to affect us at that time, but I knew it was, but they just couldn't see it. They said, well, people are still going to put slide images into folders and people are still going to put images behind overlays. And the next kind of turning point was a few years later at an MPA event. Actually, it was a Cherubs event up in Yorkshire somewhere, and seeing Graphic Studio for the very first time. And Jeremy will laugh because I've told him a story 100 times that I walked past their products, which were digitally printed on Lair Flat albums. And I remember thinking, now, I've never seen anything like that before, but it's a bit of a fashion because it was very Italian in design and over-designed, if you will. And I remember saying to the directors in Italy, it's a fashion, it's a fad, it'll never take off. And that... I rue those words, and Jeremy reminds me very quite often about it, that the world changed. And then very, very quickly, this revolution, and all the labs didn't know what was happening because they were all starting to print digitally as well. And should it be sRGB? Should it be Adobe 98? There was all this confusion, and nobody really knew. Everybody, including the labs and the manufacturers, it was a bizarre time for everybody. But now it's settled down to a certain extent. But still, that was an incredible revolution. And I say the thing that, if I could give advice to photographers who are just starting out or they're coming into weddings and portrait business, I would say to them, it's nothing to do with the camera. It's to a certain extent, it has to do with the images, but it's business acumen. Learn the business acumen first. It's the most important thing. And it's probably the biggest thing that while I've been at Graphic Studio, we have to help people with is actually sales isn't a dirty word. The word sales is just giving your clients an opportunity to purchase products. Because we all have to pay the mortgage, even if the pictures are fantastic.
So you run seminars regularly, don't you, with Graphic Studio?
We do. We try and run them once a month at our office in Watford. But we do go all over the country as well and put them on. But we generally fill them. We only take 15 people at a time. It keeps it nice and small. And it also gives them the opportunity to meet Amy and Sharon and Charlie in the office, as well as see where we work from, because we work in a very odd place. You think of Graphic Studio as being this incredibly modern factory, which it is, but then you come to our place in Watford, which is beautiful. But it's a converted barn, so it's not what people expect.
No, it's not at all. I've been to a couple of those seminars. They're very, very good. And you hear the feedback from the photographers who come to it. What do they tell you that they've learned?
I think the main thing is we simplify the product range for them, because people new to Graphic Studio, I think they open up the trade area for the very first time and they're overwhelmed because we have the largest choice of anybody in the world. So that's kind of the first thing that helps with them, understanding where in the value chain the product fits and how they can use it to the type of photography that they're doing. But probably the main part of the day is the sales and marketing section, where it really, I've actually seen photographers leave and throw the price list in the bin on the way out of the office because they realise that a lot of the times they're actually charging for a product. And we don't really, we're not about product sales, we're about selling our services. And the value of any photographer is what he prints in an album or puts in a mount. The value is in the print, not in the paper or the leather that it's contained in. That's just a transportation device to get your images to the customer. So, and I think that's where photographers kind of, oh yeah, it makes sense now. Because quite often they're trying to increase the prices or upgrade via selling a better leather or a bigger album, which actually makes no business sense at all. Where the value of the upgrade is, and I just sat here in your studio now, you can see, you know, it's in what they actually put on that paper, and that's where the value of photography is.
Yeah, very much so. It's all about memories.
Yes.
Yes, they're wrapped up really beautifully, but in the end, it's the memories in the pictures. It's the memory of the experience, I think. Anyway, that's my...
No, without a doubt. And my grandmother died this year, unfortunately. She was 93, a Belfast lady, quite a hard lady. One of my memories of going to the funeral was we started off at my auntie's house. And my auntie is the older sister of my dad. And she had a wedding album there, which bizarrely was a Spicer Holfield album. And I actually sat there for half an hour looking at this wedding album, and I could see my parents before they got married, and looking at my dad, my son, I realised he's now 19, nearly 20, is a spitting image of my dad. So all these memories that he brings up, my mum and dad's parents, and I think what photographers have to remember is, yes, it's obviously about the products and that, but what they're actually creating is an heirloom for the family that's going to be passed from generation to generation, and that's so important.
No, I think that's absolutely true. But obviously the product is still part of it, and you sell I mean, you talk this story about, it's all about the images inside, but mm-hmm. blimey, do you sell hard?
Well, we do. I mean, yes, it is about the images, it's about the memories, and of course, but it's got to be presented in the best way possible. And part of that process for a photographer when he's selling to an end user, or a client, or a bride, or a portrait assistant, is the strength of saying your images are going to be in a handmade Italian album is a very powerful thing. We guarantee the bindings for life. It's the best quality that they can purchase, we believe, yeah, in the world. And, you know, we're not a fast food restaurant. People say, well, your turnaround times are slightly longer than other manufacturers. And we're not embarrassed about that, yeah, because we're making a high quality product that's handmade. Literally handmade.
Yeah, incidentally, if you're listening to the scratching sound while Martin was speaking there, that's me moving the microphone, because Martin, as you'd expect from Martin, has used a lot of hot air, which is popping on the microphone. So I've had to just adjust it mid-sentence.
I thought you were going to pop me on the nose or
something.
There
you go, look, it keeps popping. I keep moving it. I keep gently adjusting it, trying to find the space.
It's my loud northern accent.
It's the hot air. It's not your northern accent. I don't have southern microphones.
But you say that.
Well, I think they're American, actually. I don't think they have the concept of the Wigan accent. So, forgive me if you're listening to this podcast and there's like some scraping and scratching. That's me desperately trying to find an angle where Martin isn't blowing out my channels in the nicest possible way. Martin, don't do it.
We don't want to blow the microphones.
You've got to stop. Oh dear. So anyway, Spicer Hallfield was all about essentially self-assembly. Though you had this beautiful book, you had glorious books back then.
Yeah, that's right. The Spicer Hallfield range, people who remember the Lincolns and the Deliuses, and I'm sure people who've been around a while, that'll bring a shiver down the spines just thinking about that. But yeah, it was all self-assembly. You bought the leaves separately. You had your prints printed at the lab and they would do all the grading. And then they'd go into an album with an overlay over the top. And generally, you wouldn't get past a 40-page book. And then Glorious Books was a division that we started at, really to seeing what the graphic studio were doing. So it was kind of a Me Too product as well. I mean, it was a beautiful product as well, but it was too little too late.
Yeah.
And we were using an external lab to do the printing for us and manufacture the books up in the Bradford factory.
I loved it though.
Yeah, I know you did.
I loved that product. I was, because it was the Celdex leathers, the Outback. Do you remember the Outback leathers of Celdex?
Yeah. We had a different name for Outback leather, but which I'm not going to tell you now.
All right, no, don't tell me now. I'll talk to you later.
The Outback leather, yes.
Yeah, I like the Outback leather. Yeah. I just liked the leather and the printing was great. I mean, you could use multiple labs. There were several labs you could use.
Yes, you could, yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of the lab I used.
Leech colour?
Yeah, it was Leech. That's it. They had the best colours.
Yeah.
I tried a few of them. Leech were brilliant. And the albums always looked stunning. I loved them.
Yeah.
You know? And
They were a beautiful product. And, you know, but, you know, as I said at the time, when Graphic Studio very first started, but they learned very quickly.
Yeah,
the Italians, the amazing thing about Italy, and you see it at the moment with the rate that we're introducing new products, because it's kind of family owned. There's 200 people, or just over 200 people in the factory, and it's still owned by the same three people who created the company in the very first place. It's still a family run business, but they can be incredibly quick to react to anything. Yeah. So they're going to say they're going to bring something new out, and literally, myself and Charlie and Amy in the office and Jeremy, we sometimes struggle to keep up with the amount of new product that we're bringing out month on month. And you've just seen it recently with wall art. We've just brought a whole new wall art collection out. And then literally 4 weeks later, the Kelly Brown collection, which is proving to be incredibly popular. So it's, you know, the rate at which they react to the market is like no other company. Yeah.
Well, I remember picking up one of those early Graphic Studio albums and thinking, bleh. I really did.
It's a fashion, it'll fad, it'll never take off.
I just, bleh. I did. I liked the lay flat printing.
Yes.
But for me, the book was too, I don't know what the right word for it is. I'm going to say too Italian, but Italian's the epitome of style. But there's something about them that I didn't like. The soft padded leather or the leatherettes.
Silk and covers.
And I never liked it. And then over the years, I mean, to anyone listening to this, I'm now not just a Graphic Studio customer, I'm one of your key kind
Absolutely,
of proponents
yeah.
of the
yeah,
book,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we sell them hand over fist.
It's not that we have a castle that you use by any chance, is it?
You do, and I will be there in January, myself and Dave Stanbury, in case you hadn't heard.
So before you all jump in, those of you with sharp ears, and point out that the two fellows seminar we're doing in Italy is in fact in March, you're absolutely right. It's just that myself and Martin were laughing too much to notice that I've got it wrong. Back to the interview.
It's not that we have a castle that you use by any chance, is it?
You do, and I will be there in January, myself and Dave Stanbury, in case you hadn't heard.
I'll be there with you.
Oh, my God.
Did you not know?
No, I hadn't found out that it was you.
That'll be me.
That's the time to break the news to me.
Yes.
Oh, hang out my spleen.
Why have you started sweating?
I have actually started sweating at the prospect. I didn't know you were coming. That's genuine news to me.
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's news to me. I think that's a good thing, is it?
No, it's a very good thing.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be a heck of a...
It's not often you're caught for words, is it?
No, it is. You put me right in the back foot. I don't know what to say to that.
No, but the castle, as you know, because we've been together as well,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
just an incredible place to retreat or whatever you want to call it. It's just an incredible place. And last week, Jeremy was over there. With Kevin and Simon
in a power cut,
and literally the worst weather in Italy, in the northern Italy, that they've had for I think it's 40 years, and there was trees down and we had no electricity, and yet they still had an incredible time, and the course was incredibly successful. So they're just the power of the place, you know. It's they're by candlelight. They did everything by candlelight.
But I think what's hilarious is a sign of the times that they had no electricity, but they still had phone signal. Which is hilarious.
And a fridge full of wine. So,
oh, genius. Absolute genius.
Yeah,
so the only thing they had to worry was running out of battery. I bet there was a car there and they were turning the engine to recharge the
Believe
phones.
Believe it or not, Profoto have a set of gear up there and they were using the modelling lights and the Profoto lights to do things. But of course, after the first night, the battery ran out.
Yeah.
But candlelight, amazing. Yeah.
Oh, just brilliant. So yes, we will be there. And I didn't know it was going to be you looking after us, but oh my goodness, it's going to be a week to remember that one. So yes, obviously the designs of the books, the modern take on it, I mean, our clients love it. And it's so different to those early books that I first encountered, which I really didn't like. I mean, I still have a sample somewhere, which you gave me, an early graphy sample. There weren't my images in it. It was just one that we could use.
That's right, yeah.
To show the product. It was, I don't know, the photographer would have been an Italian photographer, I would have thought.
I'm not sure who the photographer was, but I know the sample you're talking about with the bride and groom in St. Marco's Square in Venice on the front of it. Yeah, that was when people signed up to graphy in the early days. They used to get that as a sample, but it was always used in the wrong way. It was used, they would take it to wedding fairs and say, you know, this is our work, which obviously it wasn't. The idea behind that book was it was a wallpaper to catalogue. It had the different paper types, and and they used to get a voucher to order their own sample with that. So yeah, we stopped doing that a little while ago. It kind of stopped working for us, but there are other ways to get into Graphic Studio now, definitely.
Such as
we run promotions. There's yes, we do. discounts on samples. So, I mean, the way that I think, personally, I think about this is now, we gave an awful lot of free samples away that either the photographer wasn't in the right market for, but I believe that, you know, if a photographer invests, which it is an investment to buy some samples, we invest because we're giving quite heavy discounts on them, then it becomes a partnership. And Graphy Studio are really about not you being a customer, but you being a partner of ours. And that's the philosophy from Thule all the way down, that we look at the people using us as family. And they really feel that. We have a lot of people come out and visit us in Italy and do factory tours or come to the castle, and everybody's welcome to do that because you're a member of the Graphy family.
Yeah.
So.
And you said it about the company as well, but even as a photographer who knows you, I nearly said intimately, it's the wrong thing to say, but who knows the Graphy range really very well, is I still find it daunting. It's hard to figure out what to do with the product, how to make those first decisions. What would you say to a photographer who's umming and ahhing? We spoke to a photographer only half an hour ago who was kind of scratching her head a little bit at it. What words of advice would you give to say to someone, this is your starting point, start here and build outwards?
It depends, because our range is so vast. you really need to come and see us. And that's why the business courses are so important. And originally we designed the business course for new photographers. Since then, photographers who've been working with us for years actually come as a refresher. But that's the starting point. But we do attend the shows. We're generally at the SWP convention and the photography show at the NEC. I mean, we really do get around the country. I know, because I do a lot of those miles. And it could be an MPA event. It could be we're talking about doing things at photographer studios where they're inviting other photographers. So we're around. And if we can fit it in the schedule, we'll come and see you. We'll come to your studio. And I did that earlier this morning. I went to see a client who has been using us for a while, but they've not been able to attend any events. And we'll make the effort to go out and see them. But probably the best way is either to come and see it at a show, or come to the office.
Yeah, I'd recommend doing that. I'd recommend the business course, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's fantastic. And yeah. I did go to one just as an observer.
You did?
Yeah, and you buggers dragged me up in front.
Well, yes, we did.
Thank you very much for that. This is some sort of revenge now, is to put you in front of a microphone.
And it is a good revenge, yes.
But it's all good. So talking about the industry in its sort of wider context, you and I have hung around the associations in their various forms for numerous years. What do you take on that? What do you think that they're, which direction do you think they should be heading in?
Oh, now this is a kind of a tricky hot potato, let's say. I love the associations. I think the associations are important. I think
why?
I think.
Don't you say they're important? Why are they important?
Because being a photographer is a very lonely job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I see it quite a lot. It's very isolated. A lot of people work from home. They'll get up in the morning and they'll go down to the computer without even having a shower. They'll kind of sit at the computer all day, and then before they know it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a very, very lonely life for a lot of photographers. And I think what the associations do is there's a number of things that the associations offer. Besides the practical stuff is camaraderie, friendship. Everybody goes through the same when they're starting a business, and just having someone to talk to. And a lot of the associations also have mentoring as well, which is help with the photographers, not only the business side of it, but also to kind of move their work forward, yeah. which is one of the main reasons. The different associations have different strengths and weaknesses. And I think that the associations over the last few years have really struggled to find who they are and what their role is within the business, because the whole industry's changed quite a lot. But, you know, like the MPA, we were just recently at the MPA Awards, and that was an incredible event, and you were on the same table as me. So it was, you know, the imagery was incredible, and the guys running it did an incredible job. It was brilliant. So I think they're important for a number of reasons. As I said, mainly just so you're not there on your own and you realise that other people are having the same problems. But from a practical point of view, training, mentorship, and pushing yourself forward, I don't think that necessarily the licensorship, associateship, fellowship will get you more business. But what I think it does do is help keep you current, move your photography forward. And it's almost like a personal thing for photographers to keep fresh and keep moving. It's got to be done.
Yeah, and I would argue there's more to that than you're making out. Because I actually think if you learn how to use the letters,
yes,
the qualifications and the awards well,
from a PR stance.
From a PR
yeah.
point
no,
of
I
view.
I agree with that.
You know, we
yeah.
talked every time we've done anything with awards or with qualifications. We talk to our clients about it. You're
creating content, aren't you, as well? It's
constantly. It's, and also, yeah. you know, the best analogy I've ever heard is having your letters is like being, it's like the Michelin stars in restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
Because an L is a 1 Michelin star. An A is a 2 Michelin star, an F is a 3 Michelin star. And while that doesn't necessarily make us go eat in those restaurants, you know you're looking at a great restaurant.
Yes.
It might not be your taste, it might not be in your budget, but it's certainly going to be a great restaurant. And so I think if people learn to talk to their clients about those qualifications in a more productive way, I think there's a lot to be gained from it, actually. And we have, and I'm living proof of that, we use the letters
mm-hmm.
all throughout. Ever since I've started collecting them, we've used them.
You've got a few now as well.
Yeah,
so,
you've got a few.
I'm not going to argue with that, but I think as a consumer, sometimes when they come into a photographer, do the awards, or maybe not the awards, but certainly I think you're right, the level at the L or the A or the F is, you know, it proves And I really do take my hats off to people who get the fellowship. It's an extraordinary thing to be able to do, and the work is generally incredible. And I found the other thing is, and I think I've said this to you before, is that I find that when people reach fellowship level as well, there's also then a big jump in the quality of the work they produce. And afterwards. I don't know why the reason is, and I don't know what the science is behind it, but certainly I've noticed that is definitely the case.
I have some insights into that, obviously, because I've talked about this on stage a lot, where I became a fellow of the MPA after I got my qualification, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
I grew into it.
Yes.
The letters, obviously I created a panel of 20 images that got me there. But then I became overnight a different photographer.
You think it's confidence that once you
I do think it's confidence. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Because all the time, it's a head game, this thing. It's having the confidence to say to someone, no, I think this is the right image. Hmm. And certainly when you're working, and this isn't true of all photographers. I know some photographers who are supremely confident, bordering on arrogant from the day they've picked up a camera. But most of us are insecure and we're driven by the client.
Yes.
The client wants this, or I'll do that. We're under pressure. The weather's not great. You know, in your head, you know that's not the right outfit or the right setup, but the client wants it. And then I think when I got my fellowship, I stopped being quite so beholden to my own insecurity and mm-hmm. started to think, do you know what? I have the letters. I can do this and I can do it at a high standard. This is what I'm going to do. And I started to talk to the client in a slightly different way. I started to use my experience to guide them.
So it's a psychological change rather than...
Completely. Completely. And I became a much more adventurous photographer. And actually the biggest adventure I took after getting my fellowship was to look back at my licentiate panel and start shooting like that again. Because in the same way as musicians talk about that second album, you know, the first album is the consolidation of years and years of doing what the hell you liked. Mm-hmm. And then a record label signs you and you get to record it. Your second album, you've got to create that within a year. Mm-hmm. And so it's very much more a contrived thing. You're trying to invent songs and music to get that second and third and fourth album. And actually, when I went back to my licentiate, I was being much more original back then and doing stuff I really loved. And so paradoxically, my fellowship gave me the courage to go back and shoot what I'd always loved shooting, big, bold, framed portraits, very tight crops, you know, because over the years, my mentors have told me, you need to stand back a bit. You need mm-hmm. to stand back a bit because you're cropping too tight. These are the rules. And then when I got my fellowship, I've proved my point. Now I can go and break the rules again.
Yeah.
And I love it. I became so much more energetic and enthusiastic about my photography because the letters gave me freedom. It's F is for freedom. I've only just thought of that.
You just made that up, haven't you?
That's
brilliant. Yeah.
But it gives you the freedom to go and do it. And I'd recommend everyone who is into progressing, if they have the opportunity to with any of the associations, to go and chase the letters down. It's such a great journey to go on.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I do think people afterwards, I think become, they fulfill their potential far greater than if they sit thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do it.
I suppose bringing that down to basics, it's a little bit like, and I'm sure everybody says it to their son, when my now 19-year-old son passed his driving test, it's, well, you've passed it now you learn to drive.
That's right.
Yeah, so it's, I kind of see that, yeah.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love it. It's still the best thing I've ever done in photography was to get my fellowship. Hmm. And, you know, it's not that we haven't done a lot. We've done an awful
plenty,
lot.
Yeah,
we've done plenty. But that moment when I was awarded the letters, I think was the most powerful thing I ever did for this business and for me.
And actually, funny enough, from Graphic Studio's point of view, I think with our new HD printing and that certainly because of the fine art to a certain extent that we're able to print, which is incredible, we're getting more and more people coming to us for their panels to be printed. Yeah. And we're just doing some stuff now at the moment for people who are entering the 2016 competition in WPPI from other countries. Yeah. But it's fascinating to see all that body of work as well. You know, it's some beautiful stuff.
No, it's amazing, isn't it? So let's talk some bits and pieces. If you could give a top tip, one top tip to a photographer starting out, what would it be?
Oh, God. Nikon.
Brilliant. No, so any chance of me being sponsored by Canon or Hasselblad's just gone out the window.
No, sales. Learn some sales. Learn some basic sales techniques. Come to our course and learn some sales.
Come to your course.
Oh, anybody's course. Just learn how to sell. Because as I said before, giving your customers the opportunity to purchase, and it's as simple as that. And a lot of people don't do that.
No, it's very true, isn't it? And what's the biggest mistake you see photographers make?
Not learning to sell.
That's just the same answer in reverse. Not letting you have that.
Not having a database is a big one at the moment, to be honest.
You've said that for about 3 years.
Yeah, but it's so important. And
I agree with you.
It's especially now with the new GDPR. It's really, really important. And also from a business point of view, that every year portrait and wedding photographers kind of get towards the end of the year and then panic about what they're going to do next year and who they're going to bring in, where they're actually not leveraging their database or the amount of customers that they've had for the last few years. So, you know, if you've had 30 weddings the year before and 30 weddings the year before that, then they are still, it's easy. You say there's a fact that it's 80% easier to get an existing customer to come and purchase something than it is to find a new customer.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Of course I agree with you. Well, we have a database.
I know you do, yeah.
I know, we use Lightblue and swear by it.
Yeah.
What mistake have you made?
Me?
Yeah.
Sitting down and doing this was what comes straight to the top of the list.
Really?
No.
That's a rubbish answer. I'm going to delete that.
Make mistakes all the time.
What's the biggest? What's you know, the slap on the forehead? Oh, shit. Shouldn't have done that.
Oh, my goodness. Adopting Dave Stanbury as a friend in Wigan. That's
I'd have to
think about that. I generally make mistakes every single day. I've been very, very fortunate that I don't think I've really dropped any big clangers. I mean, when I left Spicer Hallfield, I was within 8 months of that business going bankrupt, and I didn't know that, or being asset stripped as it was. I've been very lucky, travelled a lot. So No, definitely not mistake free. As I say, I think that mistakes are very important because you learn from mistakes. But you put me on the spot there, Paul. I'd have to think about that.
That's the fun of it. I wasn't going to warn you. Give us a horror story. Tell us a horror story.
Of what?
Anything. It could be your experience or somebody else's. I don't care. It's just going to be entertaining and horrific.
I was in a bar in Rhodes in Greece once. It's not one of those stories, Paul, don't worry.
Right, okay.
And there was a trucker there and telling me that he'd just driven all through Europe and he got this amazing camera and he was taking these amazing pictures. And he asked me to have a look at it because he was having problems with the camera. So he passed me the camera across the table and I opened the back of the camera, not realising. Because the way he was talking about it, he'd taken the film out, but he hadn't. So all those pictures he just taken around Europe, I fogged the film that was in there. So that was a horror story.
That is a horror story.
He's shouting at me, "Do you call yourself a photographer?"
No.
just fogged his roll of film from all around Europe.
Nice. Yeah. Nice, you've done well there. And what was wrong with his camera?
I have no idea. The conversation didn't go much further than that, to be fair.
You've no idea. It just created fogged images.
Fogged images, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I also once repping the line and the ship's the paper line, EP2 chemistry, and poured a litre of bleach fix in the dev. That was another really big mistake.
That's a proper mistake. How do you reverse that?
You don't. You dump it and wash the... What one part of bleach can contaminate 200 million parts of dev, so you've got to dump it and wash it out.
Did you carry on working on the ship after that?
I did. I was a boss, so it was all right. Nobody else knew. It's that our raw material costs were a bit high that month. That's
all. Oh, man. Do you think working on the cruise ships is a good education for photographers?
Brilliant. I would tell everybody to do it.
Would you?
Yeah, it's awesome. It really was. I don't say I was shy at school, but didn't really like school very much, but loved college because it was photography and it was creative. But I was still kind of just a quiet lad, if you will. But yeah. On ships, you've got to come out to yourself. You've come out of yourself and entertain and direct, if you will, in that you've got to get a smile from people. You know, it's very much like when I see you do portraits, you know, you put them at ease and entertain them and then bang, there's the picture. Not in the same kind of, because we're shooting a lot of film. But it was fun. It was really, really good fun. I saw, and I was very conscious that I was visiting these incredible places and I was still so young, but I really appreciated it. Stood on the Copacabana beach, you know, in Brazil, and just kind of, or Argentina, Brazil. And just thinking, I can't believe this. Or, you know, I'm in New Zealand or Vietnam or all these different places. It was, and of course you've kind of on a different level doing the ships. Yeah. I'm sure you find that the traveling is just,
I love the traveling. Incredible. I absolutely love the traveling. I'm not sure I envy the ship's photographers their job.
No, because it's a young man's game.
I couldn't do it.
Or a young person's.
Yeah, it's full on.
Yeah.
They get a couple of hours off here and there, and they've got to be absolutely enthusiastic and going for it every single minute of every single day.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is carrying lights from one end of the ship to the other and setting up backdrops. And then you've got to switch modes and do the shoots, and then you've got to take it all down, and then you've got to get
process,
onto the...
Well, when I was back there, we used to process everything as
still
well.
Still are. Yeah. Still are. They're still processing on wet chemistry.
Yeah.
And they get onto the shop front, and now you're a sales assistant, and then do the whole thing all over again. And I think it is a good, solid start.
Yeah,
but oh my goodness, I couldn't do it anymore.
I couldn't do it now. But I was what, 17, 18 when I started, and mid-20s when I left, and my younger brother, he was working in Tesco's, and he said, can I come? So my last year was his first year, and he did 10 years. But I was very lucky in that I worked on small ships which were chartered by different companies. Some of the bigger ships, they just do the same run 7 days. You know, which I wouldn't have enjoyed that. I was just very, very, very lucky.
Yeah, and the ships we're on, we go all over the world.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do a couple of weeks here, 3 or 4 weeks there.
Yeah.
And then I get to have a rest.
Yeah.
But it is...
The whole thing's a rest, come on.
Oh, man, you know, I do how hard I work. I tell you what, I was talking on a podcast recently, though, a couple of weeks ago, about a guy called Justin on the Skywalk in the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And it's... You know, I'm not a fan of particularly being in front of the camera, though I love it if I'm there with my family, any excuse to get the family in front of the camera with me. And Justin, this guy, this photographer, was amazing. And he was basically a ship's photographer on land.
Yes.
So it was all positivity and energy. The poses were pre-rehearsed. He'd done them probably 10 times, maybe more that day.
Yes.
And yet he managed to suspend all of my disbelief, give me an experience I'll remember for the rest of my life, give me some pictures that, if you look at them technically, they're nice. They're not winning awards, you know, because it's the same old, same old.
No, it's not, never award winning.
And yet I love them. I absolutely love
personal
them because
to you,
because they are personal to me, and the experience is personal to me.
Yeah.
You know, I remember every minute of it.
And the main thing that I would say that I came away with that is, when you're talking about anything that you have to sell, whether it's photography or whether it's product, it's enthusiasm.
Yes.
Enthusiasm 100%. And that's what ships taught me, that enthusiastic about everything. If you've got somebody coming down a gangway and there's 600 people scrambling to get off the back of behind them, and you've got to stop them, pause them in front of a, I don't know, a life ring in Papua New Guinea or somewhere like that, and get them to stop for like only a few seconds. But, you know, it's you've got to learn that skill and be able to stop people.
You've got to arrest the moment.
And I love people anyway, so.
You do. You're very huggy.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, you are very huggy. I was at the MPA Awards with you, and I tell you who someone who could do this, Gary Orgel's genius.
Yes.
It was hilarious being in front of the camera with him.
Yeah, he was very good.
He's very good. He has that energy and positivity.
The images were excellent as
they
well.
They were, the whole
and
thing.
But imagine being under that pressure with that crowd around
as
well.
Yeah, yeah, I thought he was absolutely genius.
Yeah,
so if you're out there, Gary, and listening to this, genius, mate.
Well,
absolutely
thumbs up
genius.
From us.
Yeah, no, absolutely amazing. What's the best gift anyone's ever bought you?
My children, my wife and my Heather and Patrick.
It wasn't aware you bought them.
Well, it's still costing me now, let me tell you. I don't think I'll ever finish paying. You're joking, okay. Marriage, you never stop paying, do you? So,
Hi, Fran.
I've looked at my life all as an adventure. The college bit was a bit of an adventure. The ships were certainly an adventure. And then when we kind of came back to the UK, and it was a struggle, I came back to the UK. Eventually, when I backpacked around Australia for 2 years, came back with 50p in my pocket, and we moved in with Fran's parents in London. And then we decided that we were going to stay. We did have a couple of more jaunts on ships because we were so skint and I couldn't get a decent job at the time. But moving back to the UK, and then when we found out, my daughter's now almost 22. But the whole thing's been an adventure. And watching the children grow up, it's just been breathtaking, really has. Yeah. So yeah, my best gift is
that's suddenly got quite deep, quick, didn't it?
Yeah, for me, certainly was.
I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting something quite shallow.
I just bought myself an X-T3, so that's the best gift I've ever received apart from the children.
But you bought it for yourself.
Well, it's still the gift.
How are you finding it?
I've not really put it through its paces, but I love it. I think for me, the feel of it reminds me of an FM2, which I was when I was on Ships Photographers, that's what we used. And it's got that feel about it, and the dials are very, very similar. But it's just got a brain on it, like you. It's incredible. And I think I mentioned I'm going, because I still love photography. So next week, there's me and three other people going to Iceland just to photograph. And maybe have a drink, but mainly maybe
it's expensive in Iceland. Do you remember that?
I know, that's why we chose it. And I've organised the whole thing, and the places I've chosen to stay are outside towns, so that we can concentrate on the photography.
Yeah. Well, you'll see how that goes. It'll all be fermented fish and Icelandic beer.
Oh man, somebody told me about the fermented fish. It's supposed to be.
Have you
been to Iceland?
Yeah.
How was it?
I loved it. Absolutely loved it. But the beer is expensive. But they do have a fantastic range of beer.
Right.
Not so much on the fermented fish.
No. And we're hoping, obviously, Northern Lights is... it might be cloudy, it might not be.
But let's hope you're lucky.
Yeah.
That'll be an amazing trip.
Yeah.
And what does next year hold for you?
More of the same with Graphic Studio. We're really kind of looking forward to next year as well. We've actually seen... because the market's been quite stagnant, and I really put that down to photographers... supplying USBs, so that's without a doubt that's affected not only us but other labs or other album suppliers as well. But I think the message is getting through, and I think photographers are now realizing that USB actually damages their business or digital downloads, because you know a client's walking away with that and getting something printed through, I don't know, Groupon or whatever, and that damages the business. And it's affected all labs and all book sales. But I'm hoping we're kind of seeing an end to that now, because I think photographers are realizing that, you know, without the book, there's no value in it. Yeah. And that's where they get very good referrals from as well. That's why people will come.
Absolutely.
So so we've got obviously SWPP, January, February. I think is a photography show. Is that March? I'm not sure. WPPPI will be at that. And we're going to carry on running our business courses. We've got a lot going on at the Castle next year, an awful lot. I think there's over 30, 35, 40 maybe now events happening at the Castle. Obviously, you and Dave are coming out. Chris Chambers is out again. Scott Johnson and Paul Fowler we've got out there. Kevin and Simon are coming out again. Melanie East. So there's an awful lot. The British contingent kind of take over the Castle, I think, for a lot of the year. So, yeah. And they're amazing events.
So I went out for dinner with Melanie East. That's great to see her.
Yeah.
Beautiful photography. If you're into your newborn photography.
Amazing photographer.
Yeah, you should go and attend that particular. So I think she's out there with Claire Louise, isn't she?
She is.
That'd be a great week.
Jeremy's doing that one.
Is he? Yeah. Good luck, Jeremy.
They won't let me near that one, apparently.
All right, you're not great with newborns. They send you out. They're sending you out with two Northern lads. me and Dave. But if you are into newborn and your creativity, then that Melanie East and Claire Louise one would be great. And Kevin Wilson is a great friend of mine, and I love Simon John a bit. So
yeah,
they're just fantastic going on out there, isn't it?
Yeah, they are, and it's a great experience. And I think the speakers. People think, well, is it going to be a bit of a jolly? But I can tell you now, it is hard graft for us and for me or for Jeremy, because we kind of host it in that we take care of everything that's happening there. The speakers, it's full on, so the delegates can have the best time ever. And it's such an incredible place to visit.
I know, I'm so excited because it's a year or two since I've been out there.
Yeah.
And
In fact, last time we were there for a weekend, weren't we?
And
that was amazing. We went to Venice. And
that's right. Yeah. Had a fantastic, most incredible weather in November.
Yeah, I got sunburned. Yeah, it was hot, wasn't it?
It was really hot.
In November, yeah.
And then freezing in the evening, and the cloud came down as thick fog.
That's it.
Just beautiful, breathtaking place.
Yeah, it is. Really.
Absolutely.
Is.
Stunning. So I'm very, very excited about that. Graphic, going to be doing anything at the photography show?
We're still not confirmed yet, but I can't imagine that we wouldn't be there, but it's all about budgets, and it's an incredibly great show, but it's incredibly expensive as well. So it, like anything that, you know, you guys do in wedding fairs and stuff like that, it's return on investment. You've got to look at the numbers. It's really important that, you know, if we do it, I mean, I think personally it's a great show because it's a big showcase, and we generally have the pro lounge. The issue that we've had in the past was there's 32,000 visitors and 2,000 professional photographers, which just isn't. We only work with professionals, so it's not been our demographic of people. But since we've had the pro lounge, which you have to be a pro to go in, obviously, then it's in the name.
Subtle clue.
Yeah. And that's really worked well for us. So hopefully we'll be there.
Hopefully,
I can't guarantee it because I don't know.
I love presenting in there. It was great. So yeah, if you are in there, I will happily come and do another turn for you.
Well, we'll hold you to that.
Yeah, it's great fun. Anyway, Mr. Baines, it's time me and you went for a beer.
That sounds good to me.
And on that happy note, take care.
Thank you.
So there you have it, The World According to Martin Baines. I hope you found it illuminating, maybe interesting, and hopefully a little bit entertaining. If you did, please do share this podcast via whatever means you like, whether it's on iTunes or Podbean, or of course, feel free to share the link to our master site, which is masteringportraitphotography.com, which is where this podcast originated. Also, please head over to iTunes or Podbean and leave us a review and a rating. These are more valuable than you can possibly imagine as they help us to gain new listeners and grow the podcast, which, of course, will help everybody concerned, particularly me, because it doesn't feel like I'm in a room talking to myself. And why not subscribe to the podcast while you're at it? We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're on Podbean, and we are also on Radio Public. And all you have to do is hit that subscribe button. And whenever we release a new one, there it'll be, you'll get a little message on your phone that will give you the opportunity to sit back, relax, grab a cup of cocoa, and listen to the dulcet tones of me talking to someone else in the industry. It might just be the very thing you need to take the stress away. Well, I hope so anyway. So on to next week. I'm recording an interview with David Stanbury, which will be coming out in a few weeks, I think. We haven't got dates on these just yet, as we're still trying to piece together exactly how we're going to do that. Actually, on that note, if I'd love to ask a question of you, feel free to email in. The question I have is whether you'd rather I did more interviews or whether you prefer me just talking about life, the universe, and photography. It doesn't really make any difference to me. It's obviously easier to do the ones on my own, but I really do enjoy doing those interviews. So let me know via email. That's paul@paulwilkinsonphotography.co.uk or hop across to masteringportraitphotography.com and use the contact form there to let me know, because if I can tune it to what people actually need, then, of course, it'll be that much more useful. Also, please remember that I will be running both a superclass and a masterclass at the SWPP conference in January 2019. There are only 10 spaces on the superclass. The masterclass is quite a lot bigger, but you have to book your space on the superclass. So you do need to book early. The places are already going. It's never easy to know what to cover in these things. So on this particular one, we're going to be doing posing without posing. And what do I mean by that? I simply mean making the best of people. So instead of it being very controlled and very staged, it's making people look natural but still posing them to make the best of them. It's going to be a live shoot. We're going to go out onto the streets of London, weather permitting, with cameras. You'll get the opportunity to work with the models. I'll be talking the whole time, guiding people, giving feedback, and it should be an absolute hoot. And also, we should be creating some absolutely beautiful images. So head across, if you're interested in that, to swpp.co.uk/convention. That's swpp.co.uk/convention to book your place. And I really look forward to seeing some of you there. So until next time, remember, be kind to yourself. Take care.